Let's keep that passage open. Let me get us up to organise here. Here we go. Good morning, great to see you. If it's your first time here, very warm welcome. I'm Steve, I'm the vicar. And as Pete said, we're going to be thinking about fruitful followers today and then after Remembrance Sunday for a couple of weeks through the month of November. Let me tell you about my granny. My granny was always very busy. When I went to see her, she was always doing loads of different things. Even when she was sitting down, she was knitting for missionaries. She was that committed. She talked to me. She'd be knitting away. Busy woman. Very busy. And friends, this morning I wonder, are you busy? Are you busy? Jesus wants us, if we're his followers, to be busy doing his business, his work for his kingdom. Business actually looks like faithfulness to living fruitful lives for Jesus, for his glory. It's not about being frenetic. It's not about never resting. It's about recognizing that if we follow Jesus, that we use our lives, our energies, all that we have, all that we are for him. Once we've been saved by him, he calls us to be busy, active, living for him, faithfully serving him, being his servants in life. And Jesus tells a parable to challenge us this morning and to encourage us to be ready for his return and to be found faithful, busy about the master's business. Faithful stewards of all that we have. Imagine this bag for life is the bag of your life. And actually the Lord has given you all different things at different stages of life. He's given you family, that's in the bag of your life. He's given you possessions, that's in the bag of your life. He's given you gifts, that's in the bag of your life. He's given you personality, that's in the bag of your life. He's given you the age you are, what you are right now, that's in the bag of your life. He's given you the energy you've got. That changes in life, isn't it? We get more energy, less energy, energy goes a bit. He's given us talents, he's given us homes, if we're blessed of a home. And above all, he's given us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most precious gift he's given to us. And he's given that to us. Imagine this is the bag of your life. Bag of Steve's life, or whatever your name is, if you're a follower of Christ. That's what he's given to you. And the challenge is, friends, how will you use the bag of life that God has given you? How will you use it? How will you steward all that you are, all that you've been given by God in his grace and generosity? Well, in Luke's gospel at this stage, the king of the kingdom has arrived. Jesus is there. He's been showing that he's God and Savior, doing amazing things, turning people's lives upside down. And you see the amazing summary of his mission. It's there in chapter 19, verse 10. Have a look at it. Jesus' summary of his ministry. For the Son of Man, that's another name for Jesus, another title for Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. That's his mission. His mission is to save people, to seek them out. And he saves them through his death and resurrection for them, through the cross. And the king of the kingdom has come on this mission. He's arrived at this stage, he's heading towards the cross. So if you look at the end of chapter 19, it's the Palm Sunday account. He's heading towards Jerusalem to his death and resurrection. And as he arrives and drives towards Jerusalem, there are people with him, verse 11, who are thinking that actually it's about time Jesus took over the rule of Jerusalem. Be king now. If you're Messiah, be the Messiah now. Do it now. But the reality is the time has not yet come. His first coming was to seek and save the lost. He's about to do that. But his second coming was not yet. Not yet his second coming. And when he does come, there will be a great division. He will save his people for heaven and punish eternally those, his enemies. The point is, there is delay. There is delay between the first and the second coming of Jesus. And so you and I this morning, along with God's people throughout the ages, are people who are waiting. And the question from this parable this morning is, when Jesus returns, how will he find you? What will you have done with your bag for life? That's the parable, isn't it? To people who want Jesus to set up his rule right now, He says, no, get ready for my return when I come back. Three groups of people. There's the subjects who hate the king, verse 14. And they face a terrible end at the end of the passage. There's the servants of the king who wait well, busy about their master's business. He says to them, well done. He blesses them. And there's a servant of the king who did not wait well. And he experiences great loss. And friends, this morning, I wonder who you are in the parable. Who are you? Who am I? Let's look at the parable again. Look at verse 12. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called his 10 servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him and to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to do what he'd given the money, to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they'd gained with it. Can you see how this parable kind of captures the story of Jesus in some ways? The story of Jesus is the one of noble descent, the Son of God who comes into the world, into another country. He's shown to be the king, the Messiah. He heads home to glory. And when he returns, there'll be an accounting. This parable kind of pictures the first and second coming of Jesus. And in this parable, the king gives some finances, some minas to his servants to use well while he's away. A mina was a unit of currency, money given by the king to invest and to use, to be busy with whilst the king was away. And then there's a day of accounting, verse 15. He calls for his servants, who he gave the money to, find out what they've done with it. What we firstly see this morning, the amazing opportunity we have of Jesus' delay for fruitful living. The fact, friends, that Jesus has not come back yet, the fact you've got breath in your lungs this morning, is an amazing gift from God for fruitful living until he returns. See, the question on the king's mind is not written down, but it'd be there in his head as he calls his servants, what have you done with the money I gave you? What have you done with it? Have you been good stewards? Well, the first one came back in, verse 16. Sir, he says, your miner has earned 10 more. Another one comes back in, verse 18. Sir, your miner has earned 5 more. Both had been busy using what their king had given them. And it had borne fruit. The king's investment had multiplied, and the king is delighted. Do you see his reaction, his response, verse 17? Well done, my good servant. Oh, what a great thing to hear. Well done, my good servant. And to both, he richly rewards with more opportunity and responsibility. Now, don't get lost in the detail here. What's the big idea? That to live a fruitful life with all the master has given us is celebrated by the king. It receives the well done of the king. How could that, will that feel as we stand before Jesus? And both servants get an extravagant reward. I had a great illustration to help understand this extravagant reward. Imagine the king of England, King Charles, gave you £3,000. To invest. And he said, in a year's time, I want to see what you've done with it. And you go back and you have made £15,000. You can't get that with an ISA. That's a good rate of return. £3,000 grew to £15,000. Pretty impressive. But remember, this is a very small amount for the king. His estimated net worth is between 400 and 480 million. What you've made is nothing in comparison with what he owns, and yet you receive his delight. Well done, you faithful servants. And also extravagant, extra responsibility. He gives you Sussex, or imagine he gave you the priceless gift of Wales. Celebration and great extravagant rewards. That's what the king does in this story that Jesus told. Such a blessing to be about the master's business. In fact, it is the right way to live in response to the king's generosity and the life that he's given. These characters were busy in the master's business. Friends, it's not about earning salvation. Now, that is the verse before this story. Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. It's all his work. But when we're saved, when we're his, will we show it by the way we serve and use all that the God has given us, this bag of life, for King Jesus? Notice both servants acknowledge that what they have has been given. Verse 16, sir, you're minor. Verse 18, sir, you're minor. Any fruit was a result of what God had given them in the first place. This is true for us all if we're believers this morning. All that we have, all that we are, all we receive from the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life-giving spirit, his gifts, his enabling, is from him. And this morning we're all different people. We have all different means and talents and gifts and energies. If we're believers, then we're all given the gift of grace and salvation to use for him. Busy in the master's business means living fruitful lives for Christ, distinctive lives for Jesus, at work and at home, in church and society, in our rest, in our health, in our sickness, in our recreation. You know, we can so easily lose sight that all that we are, all that we have, is a gift from God to be used to bless and prosper others through our witness, through our service, through our parenting, through our friendship, through our careers. The time we have now, the situation you find yourself in right now, is a gift from God for you to use. If the Lord returned now, how would he find you? A great way to start each day is to keep reminding you of this truth and say, Lord, thank you for this new day. Thank you for giving me breath for this day. Every day is a gift from God. Thank you for giving me before me this day all these things in my diary. Help me to live them and use them for you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, as we abide in Christ, as we remain in him, we will bear fruit, fruitful followers who steward all that we have until he returns. Big question, isn't it? Why am I here? How should I live? At work when my boss is an absolute nightmare? Well, serve the Lord, not him. In my family, which is exhausting or difficult, or I lose heart or I'm exhausted, keep serving the Lord and sharing Jesus. In my retirement, or when I've got failing health, point people to Jesus. Live for him. He's given you life today to live for him. Pray, be generous, show his mercies. The fact that Jesus has not yet returned is an amazing opportunity for fruitful living. Secondly, will we see a serious warning to be ready for Jesus' return? You see, on the surface, all these servants of the king look the same. But it's when you dig down deep that you see what's really going on in their hearts. Now, I mean, it's totally obvious in verse 14 that the subjects hate the king. They're not servants, they're subjects, and they hate the king. They say, we don't want this man to be our king. And we see the consequence of that, verse 27, is they face judgment, they face death. But actually, all these servants, all 10 of them, must have looked very similar. We just hear about 3 of them. But actually, they all look the same. I wonder if you ever had the experience of going to the dentist. Let me show you a really healthy set of teeth. They're not my teeth. I'd love my teeth to look like that. There's not one filling there. No sweets have attacked those teeth like mine. Anyway, I went to the dentist this week, and I walked in feeling pretty buoyant. And he says to me, how are your teeth? I said, my gnashes are fabulous. They're fine. I was expecting me in the chair for 5 minutes. He tapped around and sent me away. But he starts doing x-rays. He starts doing deep dives into the vicar's teeth. And he and the nurse, it all went very quiet. And they were whispering to each other, thinking, oh, hello, this sounds a bit ominous. And then he started pointing out on the screen where there was decay, where there were, I think he thought I was like a walking cash machine, to be honest. I think he felt I was a good business opportunity. anyway, he told me all the gloom and what needed to happen. And I said, okay, well, I he said, what would you like to have done first? And I said, I need to talk to my wife. Holiday or teeth, they're big decisions, aren't they? Anyway, I didn't believe him. So I went to see another dentist on Friday. I said, look, this dentist, he said, can you just tell me what's going on? He said, I totally agree. But he was a bit gentler, and he said, we can phase the works. So that's great. I'm going to leave it alone for a while. But the point is, it wasn't until he actually did the x-ray, he saw what was really going on deep inside. They all looked the same. My teeth, roughly, looked pretty healthy. Just like all these servants. But Jesus calls them all to account, and he shows what's really going on in their lives. As the king does a deep dive on servant number three, we see his heart. He looks like a servant, but he shows the king that he just still has one mina. I just wrapped it up. I didn't do anything with it. I just put it to one side. His true heart is exposed. The king has given this gift of a mina, of money, and he does nothing with what he's been given. Look at verse 20. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid up in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. He has done nothing with the mina. In fact, all he did was wrap it up and put it away. What a waste. No urgency, no desire to make the most of all what he'd been given, to try and multiply it. He just did nothing. And when he's called to give an account, he just makes lame excuses. You see that in the second half of that section, verse 21? I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. Whether he was fearful or not, he clearly doesn't know the king well. This king is not like that. This king is a king who gives gifts, who generously rewards, who encourages. This guy's got no real sense of this king. He doesn't know him. And surely if he really did fear the king, he'd have tried to do something with the money he'd received. He'd have put it in the bank to make interest, but he did nothing with what he'd been given. He just made lame excuses of inactivity. How does the king describe his approach? You see those three devastating words in verse 22. Have a look. Three words. You wicked servant. You wicked servant. And everything is taken away and given to another. It's strong, isn't it? Jesus, God says, it's a wickedness not to use what you've been given by King Jesus. All that we have, all that we are, all that we can do, our abilities, our gifts, our talents, our energies, at different stages of our lives, the precious gift of the gospel, and not to use them. To live our lives and not using what God has given us for him is wickedness. Actually, it means that your life looks like you really are not a follower of Christ. To live thinking that there is no accountability, no judgment day. You see, friends, we will all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If we're trusting in Jesus, we need not fear that day, for we are safe. We're in him. We'll be saved. But we will give an account of how we've used all that we've been given before our King Jesus. And it seems that the shocking thing is that when this day of accounting came for this character, this guy who's in all appearance a servant is living like he's not a true follower of Christ. And when the king looked for fruit from all he'd been given, there was nothing. And he suffers loss. It's a very sobering passage, isn't it? This is Jesus. Friends, this is the parable from Jesus. These are his words. On the last day, we don't want to be shocked, do we? That it turns out we were just along for the ride and proved to be those who never really knew Jesus because we never trusted him in the first place and we didn't give our lives to him and use our lives for him. I think of the disciples listening to this, and Judas was part of that group who looked like a servant, and yet he knew his motives for following Jesus of being to make money, to take money from the purse and to sell Jesus off as an opportunity for him. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus and actually looked like a disciple, but actually turned out not to be. You see, the warning is real and genuine, and it comes from Jesus who loves us and sought and saved us, and it's there to say to us, don't be like him. Do not be like this third servant. It's to encourage us to be like the faithful servants, to live fruitful lives, to remain close to him, and to use all that we have, all we've been given, for the kingdom of Jesus and for his glory. You see, the reality, we could look outwardly like servants, we could attend church, have all the outward signs of belonging, and yet prove not to be his because we treated Jesus like he didn't matter. We did not acknowledge that all that we have, all that we are, is a gift from him to be used for him while we have breath. That the fact that Jesus has not come back yet is great news. Another day to use all that I have right now for the Lord Jesus. It's challenging, isn't it? And it's a great encouragement to live fruitful lives, to be good stewards of all that we have, all that we are, until Jesus returns or he calls us home in death. The amazing opportunity of Jesus' delay for fruitful living, the serious warning to be ready for Jesus' return. Shall I pray? Lord, you have blessed us all with so much. Help us to be faithful stewards of all that we are, all that we have right now. Lord, you know the situations of our lives, the challenges we face. Help us to be faithful in those, to point to Jesus, to speak of Jesus, to love like Jesus, to care like Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to know the joy of standing before you, knowing that we've trusted Christ and that Christ in us has done so much. We acknowledge apart from you we can do nothing. Come by your Spirit and challenge us, we pray, wherever we are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.